morning, Board of Supervisors will convene this great day, and let's see. Wendy, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Bradley.
Father, we're grateful to be here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be involved in the business activity of the county. For all those who serve, we're truly grateful as they dedicate their lives to making it better for our community. For those citizens who participate, we appreciate participation in hearing their ideas and their thoughts. And we want to move accordingly as you lead to make those decisions. And we thank you so much for the rain, the snow that's going to help our drought. And truly, you have blessed us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. Supervisor Chris.
President Person.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Here.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
Supervisor Haupt.
Here.
And I take it Supervisor Valenzuela is absent today?
Correct.
And just real quick, the board will be convening today as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and receives no additional compensation.
Great. And I have an urgency item to add to the agenda today. I'm going to queue this up, or would you like to do it, Ed? It's a letter.
Yeah, let me queue up the basis for it, and then you can add on to that. The basis of the urgency item is that after posting the agenda on Friday, November 5th, for the Board of Supervisors meeting of today, November 9, 2021, administration received information regarding water flows on Scott River necessitating a county response as to the appropriateness of curtailment orders in effect. Therefore, staff requests that the board determine by a two-thirds vote of members present today. This is an urgency item pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.2B2, and it be added to the agenda.
Question? This is just for the Scott River? This is for the order?
I was going to say, I think in discussion maybe we can include the other basins as well, but at the same criteria.
We can amend the basis right for the urgency order to take that into account, and I'll do that.
With that,
I make that motion.
The second your motion.
And that was to add to the agenda, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Supervisor Chris?
Yes.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Okay.
There's no other urgency items. I'll move on to presentations from the public.
I have one.
Time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. And when addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board.
I have no blue cards.
I have none in house. If you're online and wish to give a public comment, let us know by pressing star 9 on your cell phone. Seeing none, we'll move on to consent agenda. Wishes of the board.
Nothing to be removed. I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay.
Wendy, have a motion and a second.
All righty. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill.
Aye. All right. We have a public hearing at 9 a.m. Ms. Bynum.
Yes.
I'm hoping that's
before you get there, counsel, with regard to am I able to participate in this, or should I just back off at this point? Recuse.
Well, I think that's a question best put to the FPPC. In my opinion, you are able to participate, but if I'm mistaken in my opinion, that's not a legal defense, and so that's the reason I always advise checking with the FPPC. But in my view, you are able to participate. The focus of the board, of the discussion, should be about community of interest and not, you know, effect upon where supervisors reside. But community of interest, and I think continuity of representation is a fair subject matter when considering community of interest. But it,
okay, and I have reached out to the FPPC, but have not been provided an answer to that yet.
In my view, for what it's worth, I think you're able to participate, but the focus should be on the community of interest. And our consultant should be focusing in on that and determining where the boundary should be drawn.
So I will recuse at this point, just for safety's sake, so that this doesn't get derailed. How's that?
So I have an abundance of caution.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, before we get going, is there any way we can pull the maps up on the... Thank you. Because these black and whites don't do much for me.
This is a map off of the website, off of our website.
Yes, this is Laura Byam, County Clerk. Right now what is displayed on there are the, I think the black lines represent the current boundaries, and then the colorations are the draft plan too. So we can toggle through the different drafts, but I believe Liz from Redistricting Partners will be going through each of the drafts that we go through.
Okay. And are they going to show us something a little more detail in the background?
I know that they did submit a PowerPoint that will cover each district. Today we are going to be presenting draft plans 3 and 4 as a result from the last hearing based on the feedback from the board, and they can cover the changes that were made in plans 3 and 4.
Okay. Continue.
All right. So before I get started, I wanted to bring to the board's attention, we did receive a comment from Alice Rogers sharing support in favor of draft plan 1, which has been provided to the board this morning. And so with that, I will turn it over to Liz Stitt with Redistricting Partners for their presentation.
Hi there.
Good morning,
everyone. Let me go ahead and pull up my presentation. Oh, you have it. Perfect. So we're going to go over plan 3 and 4 today from the last time. But we'll just do a quick recap of the process for everyone. If you want to, there should be a button on the bottom where you can just play from the beginning.
It's paused.
Oh, it's okay.
We're getting there.
Zoom share.
Sorry, 1 second.
Tell her not to share.
Liz, they're asking you not to share.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
Trying to pull it up on the board's end.
We're going to pull up on our side, Liz, so if you can not share on, which I don't think you shouldn't have the option to share on your end.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not sharing.
It says you sharing. It's paused.
You can also try pressing the button on the bottom of the screen to the left of the 40% sign.
Yeah, I think that's what we may have to do at this point, because for some reason it is not allowing us to share. It's pausing it once we put it in display mode.
So, okay, well, no worries. We can open up this then.
Minimize that. look at the screen behind.
I can just go ahead and get started.
The screen
behind. Today, you can go to the next slide.
Yeah. Okay. And is it showing?
I am seeing a black screen.
Yeah.
Just a second.
No worries.
And now, can on your screen, can you see the display of the PowerPoint?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go with this screen for right now. If that works for you.
That's fine. Totally.
Okay.
Go ahead and go to the next slide. Thank you. This looks better. So today we're going to go over the process really fast of how we got here. So the Fair Maps Act criteria. Then we're going to go over the two draft maps that we are working off of from the last time. And then we'll talk about the next steps. So go ahead and go to the next slide. So hopefully you all are familiar with this at this point. So the Fair Maps Act really does mandate a set of criteria that we have to follow during this redistricting process. So first and foremost, each district has to be relatively equal in size, and that's in terms of the U.S. Census population. We do have a 10% deviation maximum, so we have to stay under that range. And then each district has to be contiguous. So that essentially just means that the district is one whole piece and you can draw it with one line. Next, we want to maintain communities of interest. A definition of community of interest is it's a group of people, a neighborhood, a community who share similar policy concerns and would benefit from being districted together. So this is particularly important under the Fair Maps Act. They have really emphasized the need for transparency and inclusion of the public. So just want to put a fine point on that. And then next, we want to follow city and census designated place boundaries when practicable. And then finally, keep districts compact. So go ahead and go to the next slide. So all of those criteria have really helped move the process along. So how we get from communities of interest to maps, again, really does reflect what is mandated by the Fair Maps Act. So with the Fair Maps Act requiring counties to include public input in the redistricting process, we move the redistricting process out into the public. So input from the public drives the process with multiple ways for the public to engage. So that includes being able to draw maps. People have had the opportunity to go online to your website and fill out a community of interest form. And then of course, the rules for the process have emphasized the importance of these traditional criteria and minimizing divisions of neighborhoods, minimizing the divisions of cities, and trying to keep communities as intact as possible. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So this is what the current lines look like. I'm sure you're all very familiar with it. Go ahead and go to the next slide. However, as you can see, the deviation is almost double the legally allowed amount. So we're at almost 20% deviation. It needs to be under 10%. And as you can see, District 4, which is where Guayrica is, has the highest deviation. District 1 has the lowest deviation, and you'll see the population swap with these new draft maps. So go ahead, go to the next slide. So in front of you, you should have a packet, at least a PDF version, and a web-based format where you could zoom in if you wanted to and see the deviations at a street level. But today we'll be going over plan 3 and 4. Go to the next slide. So you can see that 4 did have to shrink for population purposes, with District 1 going in and picking up a lot of that population. Go to the next slide. And here is the city's overlay. So you can see District 4 really does take in all of Yreka, with District 1 going to the outskirts of it. And go down. Next slide, sorry. And then this is what it looks like with the current lines overlay. So you can see the difference between what we currently have and what we are proposing. And go to the next slide. And here we have a deviation of 7.3. So the highest deviation.
Liz, I'm going to interrupt for just a moment. It's been asked by Supervisor how for you to go back to the previous slide, please.
Okay.
You said I'm supposed to see the change?
Yes. Just for clarification purposes, the black lines are what is the proposed plan, and then the color underlay is what is the current lines.
So I'm only seeing a change in District 3 and 4, is that correct?
Yeah, so you can see District 4 had to shrink. And then District 3, a little bit of that comes up, and that has changed. And then a little bit in District, between District 3 and 2, you can see that has changed as well.
Okay.
But this is a relatively minimal change.
Maybe if you kill the lights a little bit.
Sure.
Because
let's kill the lights.
The PowerPoint's so light.
There
that, that's
that.
Better.
That
better.
That's
better, thanks.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
And then under this plan, District 2 goes into the Carrick Division, Carrick area?
That is my understanding, yes.
All right, all right. You see a little bit of green there between?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have an advantage here, I just sit right next to the screen.
I was going
to
say, you're really testing my eyes for it, so
yeah.
Well, the colors are so alike.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and since I can't see you, please feel free to, go to the next slide when you're done, or just stop me whenever you have questions. So this is a 7.3 deviation, so it is under the 10% deviation maximum. Go to the next slide. So here is plan 4. The major difference between this plan and the previous plan is between District 3 and 2. Go to the next slide. So again, you can see District 4 hugs Yreka, and then District 3 has that, it goes down into, I think it follows the freeway. Go to the next slide. And here it is with the current lines. And next slide.
Liz, I'm going to interrupt for just a moment. So with plan 4, my understanding is that it has Carrick Addition remaining in District 3. However, portions of the Hammond Ranch area are then incorporated into District 2 from District 3.
Am I correct that for District 1, it's the same line as it was with Plan 3 and Plan 4?
I believe so. Liz, can you confirm that?
Yes, and we can, I guess not on this one. Yes, if you want to go back up to Plan 3.
It looked the same.
Yeah, I don't think District 1 changed. It was mainly changes between Districts 2 and 3.
Yeah, that should be the only change between 3 and 2.
All right.
And then here we have a deviation of 7.3, which I believe is about the same as the last one. So we can go to the next steps. So just like last time, again, this is an iterative process. So if you have any changes, anything you want to be reconsidered, now is the time to talk about this. So we do want to identify one plan, hopefully, that you like better and work off of that. And again, any suggested possible changes, now is the time to mention it, and then provide direction for the preparation of the new draft map. So we should be getting pretty close to final here. But with that, I would love input and direction on how you want us to go for the next meeting.
I have a question. The western border, the northwestern borders in District 4, do they include, it's hard to tell on your maps, do they include the streets within the city limits above, say, Grizzly Court, Humbug, that area?
I'm sorry, which map are you referring to?
District 4. Did
you say 3?
So District 4.
District 4.
I'm looking at North Minor Street, or West Minor Street at the very top of the street. It's real hard to tell.
Which plan?
So 3 and 4. Because they appear to be the same.
So there, the city limits is the same on that side.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that all the city limits are incorporated in that.
That's totally fair. Because we are trying to minimize the split of cities as much as possible, it should all be in there. In one district.
So this, I'm not sure which base map you prefer. This is the water towers here.
Okay.
And these are the streets here.
Okay. There, that's better. Thank you.
The labels here are not the city, are not the Google-based map default.
And can you go a little bit south?
Yes.
Okay, and a little bit north?
Wait.
South again, I'm sorry. Keep going. Whoop. Why is not the top of Lane Street right there? See where Lane Street is right there? That should be.
So this is the city limits right here.
Lane Street is not.
This is, so the Lane Street, which is incorporated, I believe, is right here, and this is our driveway that continues.
Right.
So this is outside of the city limits here.
Oh. How many residents down there do you think?
Two, maybe.
All right.
But it just seems cohesive to have that included.
It does.
But
what? I think what. What the supervisor is articulating here, I'm going to articulate a little bit of it too because I've ordered her, is it's really confusing for the residents at the ends of these roads to have to deal with a different supervisor when most of their commerce, interaction, and business with a supervisor is with the city of Wairika. Same confusion on Lane Street, but also the same confusion in Greenland.
And I believe also portions of Minor Street may fall into that.
Yes, and that's why I was trying to hit the tops of each of these streets.
One thing that comes into when maps are being prepared is that is it census blocks or census tracts that need to be followed, that you can't split a census block or a census tract. So I know when we were dealing with plans 3 and 4, the census tract may have only, like for Carrick, for example, Carrick is in a portion of the census tract, but we couldn't split it because the tract went beyond that. So that's, the census tracts do come into play when you're building these maps as well.
Okay, go slightly south. I want to look at the, so the Greenhorn area is the same way, right there. Because I saw that Bennett Drive was not included, and it just goes straight up Greenhorn Road and then just stops, and there's that funny whoopty right there that makes no sense to me, but it must make sense to you.
So this green area here is the incorporated places from the census boundaries. So everything, this light green color here is incorporated, and outside of that is unincorporated or county.
Right.
So this looks like it might just be a small area there.
I think that some of this unnecessarily complicates other activities like fire district boundaries and emergency response and those things that we try and coordinate. And I tell you, it's a wrestling match. With citizens about who to contact. The first thing out of my mouth is what's your address so I can look it up. It prevents good representation, is what I'm saying.
It really makes our jobs difficult, and it really confuses our constituents, not only in voting, but trying to, it just messes with the tax bases and our, as Supervisor Halp said, with our special districts. It makes things really difficult, but I'm not sure that we have a way around it.
No, and like I mentioned before, we have to follow the census tracts and census blocks, and then we also have to be within our percentage of the deviation that's allowed by law.
I understand.
So if you add somewhere to District 4, you're going to have to take away somewhere else.
Right, and I understand that District 4 has the most population, too, so you have to take from it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
On the east side, at Foothill Drive, I had mentioned the last time about where the YMCA is and that little area. That's all still kind of the same. Is that? I know that there was that chunk right there that was a weird.
Yeah, and this, again, it's following the city boundary lines there.
So that pretty much stays the same, right?
It's consistent between both plans 3 and 4.
And is that different than 1 and 2?
I don't believe so.
One is the same, but 2 is different.
Yeah.
So there's 2, and then there's... So you kind of see the, that's the difference.
Brandon?
Could you show the difference on 2, 1, and 2 for the eastern side of District 4? Thank you for the phone.
So the black is the 2011 boundaries.
All right.
So this is, let me change the face for a second, sorry. So then on plan 2, it follows the city limits here, but then it follows roads and block groups down.
Right.
And then plan 1, it follows the city limits. Plan 3, it follows the city limits, and then that's identical in plan 4 as well. So plans 1, 3, and 4 have the same eastern boundary here.
All right.
And then plan 2 has it coming this
way. Now for plan 2, do I take another, since District 1 is losing some portion in plan 2 and 1, is that being made up in another area of 3 or
So that's.
I didn't see that on the.
So if we compare plan 1 and 2, that might be a good question for Liz. Do you have more of those populations?
It all looked the same from a 30,000 foot level.
Sorry, what was the question?
Draft plan 2, the boundary between District 4 and District 1. Draft plan 3, I'm sorry, it comes to 1, 3, and 4 come to the city limits, but then draft plan 2 doesn't go all the way to the city limits on this part of the boundary between 1 and 4. And so the question was, is that between draft plan 2 and the other ones, does the boundary change anywhere else? Or is there just a population deviation between 2 and 1, 3, and 4 for the boundary between 1 and District 4?
Yeah, I don't think that other boundaries change. But let me confirm with Chris, who drew those maps.
If you just toggling through here, I don't see that shift significantly. So I think it's more of the population south of Wairika versus just east and just west. If that looks the same to you.
And I'm sorry, can you verify on plan 2, the western boundary of District 4? Does it incorporate the entire city boundary?
Yes. It doesn't go very far south of the city.
Okay, and the northern boundary? Oops. I just want to know if it incorporates those streets again up on the west side.
Yeah, these are all included in plan 2.
Okay, thank you.
Am I correct? It does incorporate what Supervisor or Chair Halp and Supervisor Orban were talking about, that it was filling those areas like the end of Foothill, the end of Minor, that would make sense to be under Supervisor Orban rather than Supervisor Halp.
Makes sense to me, but I guess it doesn't make sense to them.
Well, this planet might have it, or this one, the one where the boundary expands westward.
So
I'm just wondering if it does. They're the captains of their ship, I just wonder.
So draft plan 2, if that's the question, draft plan 2 takes the areas immediately adjacent to the city boundary and is in District 4. The main difference is the area directly south of Wairika would be in District 5, which is this area right here. So this area that's currently in District 4 under the 2011 boundaries would be in District 5.
They think they're there anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Some calls are good.
So this plan 2 makes sense to my colleagues in regards to the western boundary of D4 and eastern of D5?
That piece does. 5 up to Holmbrook for me. And is there any change?
The black line is the Klamath River.
Uh-huh.
And then in where Jenny Creek leaves the Klamath River at the lake, this follows Jenny Creek to the border. So this is consistent, and it follows the Shasta River until the city limits, and then it follows the Shasta River continuing from there.
Okay. So I apologize, I wasn't here last night for this discussion. So it's always been curious to me why the black line on the Klamath River doesn't follow the river all the way to the Oregon border. No one lives up there anyway.
That is a good question.
If I could,
it's an easier boundary.
It is. I believe it's because the Copper Lake community on both sides of the bridge.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot.
I believe it's that. But you are correct, though. It's,
yeah.
We really share that area with our concession policy.
I know. That's okay, then. That makes sense. I wasn't looking at the map correctly. I apologize to the Copper residents. and then a general comment from me is that a lot of times these boundaries unnecessarily complicate us being able to do work with the state agencies from the standpoint of the Brown Act. We do a lot of work watershed wise, and when we have to limit to two, the further you fragment valleys like Shasta Valley or other valleys that we work on, issues with the state leads to enormous complication for this board in trying to represent people. And so I would ask that you respect that as best you could with the boundaries that you draw. And I don't know near the issue that District 1, 3, and 2 have regarding that.
In regards to, I defer to my colleagues from District 4 or 5 on the western boundary would be best there. I'm just wondering if we're trading a problem on the east side for that. So if we could look at the east side on plan 2 and see if Mr. Breiser Orban and I have roads that we need to look at and what that is, what we're trading.
So between District 1 in blue and District 4 in pinkish, this is following the city limits, and then you have Wairika Acre Road it crosses.
Right.
And then the city limits follow Montague Road, Highway 3 there, and then the city limits come here. This is following South Philippi Lane from the city limits south to Oberlin Road, and then it's following the Land Hill Road. And then this is following census block groups from here, which generally try to follow roads or other physical features.
Right.
So,
then,
okay. So, so Philippi Lane.
Yeah.
We have one side of the street will be Supervisor Chris's. The other side of the street will be Supervisor Ogren's. Timber Products is split on both sides of the street. How does that work?
Timber Products is inside the city limits, is that correct?
Oh, okay. So just down a little bit.
I mean, they have operations on two sides of the street.
Is that within the city limits, though?
No, but if you're saying my district, if you look at the map, if you look at the picture,
that's, I see there. So,
yes and no.
Go and survey the log yard.
How does that work? That's where I get... That it just gets tricky when you make those kind of boundaries.
Ms. Bond, if you would mind moving north on that, north of Philippi, yeah, thank you. That's the city limits.
Yeah, the borders are always aligned, but they generally represent the city limits.
All right. And if you could go north a little bit more. And that's Harika Ager?
Yes.
All right.
Let me switch.
That little subdivision.
Question. Can we resolve Supervisor Urban's question first before we?
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead.
And the same with Shasta Forest Products. Those, they call me. And they're on that corner. I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense, splitting our operations.
I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense to split that operation in half. Okay, you on this side of the street, you're going to call Supervisor Chris. You on this side of the street.
But the census block groups could be examined and see if there are some adjustments.
Yeah, and it's not uncommon for streets to be used as barriers because out at the current boundary, like District 3 and 1, out at Four Corners and Big Springs, depending on what side of the street you live on.
Well, right, and the same with Highway 263 mm-hmm. going out of town. I know that I have one side of the street.
Right.
And
it could be that that area in particular there with timber products is that it could be a census block or it may just be following the city limits, but my guess is that it's following a census block because I wouldn't think that the city limits would split that property. So it's more than likely probably a census block that it's following. Right
I just, and I absolutely hate to bring politics into this, but when you have a constituent that or any large group of people that have the same working relationship, that have the same interests, they should be able to go to the same supervisor, no matter what it is, whether they're ranchers or lumber people or grocery stores. They should be able to go to the same supervisor for their interests instead of having to split half of their operation to go to one and half of their operation to go to the other. Does that make sense? Makes sense to me. I don't know.
From a registrar of voters perspective, we don't have any registered voters there, so it's a business, not a residence.
Right.
So,
yeah. So shouldn't it be a little more flexible and to accommodate?
That's the way I see
business?
It. The whole business should be under one.
The thing is, we need to take into consideration is how large that census tract is, that portion that's not in that proposal. How far does it go out and how many more residents does it entail? Because if you expand that, then you need to, and it does take up more residents, then you need to take away from somewhere else in that district.
I don't think anybody's living in the log yard.
But it depends on how far that census tract goes out. So across the street, I know that there's at least two residents there, and then there's farms and ranches on the other side. So just depends.
But you can't. So you don't have the flexibility of just drawing the line around the business itself?
We have to follow those census tracts and census blocks. You can't split those tracts or blocks.
We created this mess.
Yeah. Okay, Supervisor Chris, go ahead.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry.
It seems, no, you're fine. I appreciate looking at it. For Philippi Lane area, on this phone.
So if you can, sorry, if this is okay to share this here, let me just get another data layer here. So this is the city limits here, and each of these, this is the tool that would, you can highlight and see what's there. And Liz, I don't know if you have any feedback to share with this.
And then if...
Oh, sorry, there's...
Then if you could just go north of Philippi Lane and kind of get where District 1 goes up, this where it crosses I-5 again. It looks like that's where it crosses I-5. All right.
And can we go down and look at, are you finished?
I have this, actually.
Okay, can we go down and look at District 3? I don't understand what's going on there. Which plan draft are we looking at?
So currently this is draft plan 2 that is visible, which is the one that has this border this direction. So then down here, this is one of the proposals, is that this is the border between 2 and 3. This is draft plan 1, which follows the existing 2011 border, except for here it continues across. So this community here would go into district 2 from 3.
And that's
This is draft plan 1. And then draft plan 2.
Can you zero in on that shaded piece right there? I'm trying to figure out where that is.
Yes, 1 second. Let me get the.
Would
you prefer the?
Yeah, it's better. Thanks.
So this is Abrams Lake exit here, and then you have Truck Village, Dietz Road here. And then this is the city limit. This is the limits with City of Weed is up here.
And is that little cleft?
So Dietz is kind of what the.
Yeah, I see that. So that's the new proposed.
So the black line is the 2011 boundary,
and
just as a
same
reference.
Same in the other two graphs, or no?
In plans 1 and 2, correct.
So plan 1 is here, plan 2 is here, plan 3, the district 3 continues down to Abrams Lake Road. In plan 4, it's the same. This section is the same in plans 3 and 4, but the difference is
Carrot and Hammond Ranch.
So in plan 3, this area that includes Carrick would go to district 2, and this boundary would stay the same as the existing 2011 border. And then in plan 4, this area stays the same as the 2011 border, so Carrick stays in district 3. But then part of Hammond Ranch would go to District 2.
So the heavy black line is the
current boundary.
Yes, and
that's the current boundary.
Yes, and the colors are consistent between the plans. So District 3 is the orange color. District 2 is the orange color. District 2 is the green color.
Drill down a little deeper again, right there.
Sorry?
Yeah, right there. Drill down a little deeper right there.
These are census block group boundaries it follows, which sometimes it follows a road, but sometimes it's a ridge or a waterway. So in this case, it's Wagon Creek, but then it jumps over to roads. This is using block groups to choose this, so we don't always have control over how it's selected. It's just whatever the block group is.
So that would become the new black line?
This would be the new black line.
Okay.
And some of these are zero population areas, whether in the mountains, but obviously along the roads are populated areas.
Well, with all transparency, what I'm looking at is by redrawing that line, you're disqualifying one of our supervisors from residency.
The direction that we got from the board last
number 3 and 4.
Yep. 3 and 4, don't. Okay.
Yeah, the direction from the board last hearing was to keep the southern boundary, the line between districts 2 and 3, the same. But again, the census blocks changed from the last time we did redistricting, and so this is following those census tracts. We can't keep the same boundary that we once had because those census tracts have changed. So this is mimicking it as close as we can. Whether Carrick is in District 2 or District 3, or that portion of Hammond Ranch is in District 2 or District 3, it's following the census tracts. We can't follow the boundaries from 2011.
Just a question I have for clarification, if city council supervisor, whatever, is drawn out of their district, they still can finish their term, can't they?
Correct. They finish the term that they were elected to, and then once that term expires, they're not eligible to run for office unless they relocate to somewhere within their that current district, or they can run for the district that they now reside in.
All right. I know LA City still do this in the newspapers and whatnot. All right.
So, yes or no? I don't want a straight answer here. How does that black line change with? It doesn't change in 3 and 4.
3 and 4 does not.
What about 1 and 2?
1 and 2 does.
Okay.
So draft plan 1, the new black line, would come
right
through here.
Okay.
And then draft plan 2, the line would, that would be the same.
Okay.
And draft plan 1 and 2.
Through the chair, Angela Davis, County Administrator. So plan 3 and 4 takes into account the conversation that was had last hearing.
Yeah, though I didn't hear.
And so, yes.
Sorry.
So plan 3, the change would be to include in District 2 Hammond Ranch, I believe, or is it vice versa?
Vice versa.
Yeah, so plan 3 would include Carrot Condition
mm-hmm.
in District 2, and then plan 4 would include Hammond Ranch in District 2. So that's basically the essence of the difference between those two plans, the 3 and 4. Whereas all the other boundaries pretty much stay the same.
Yeah.
In draft plan 4, this is following the rail line here. And then draft plan 3, it's going to Highway 97 here.
I just had a question on between District 3 and District 1 on the north end. It looks like it follows A-12, but I was just wondering if it does that.
Correct, this is A-12.
Right, it follows it all the way to
I-5.
To I-5.
To I-5.
Right.
Well, technically to the district boundary of 4
right.
in this plan. And then draft plan 2 would be the same, and draft plan 1.
All those plans kind of clean that up because that's an area we can be sure. We both get phone calls for that.
Mm-hmm.
For that area.
So there's
drop from the north end, it kind of cleans it up.
So I don't know at this point if you want to see if there's any public online or in the audience, and then we can come back to the board and
Okay. Can we go back to Zoom? Is there any public comment on redistricting? If there is, raise your hand so we can recognize you. I see none online, none in house. Looking for some guidance there.
So at this point, we can, Laura Biden, County Clerk, at this point, we can take further direction from the board if we want to amend plans. We have to have this adopted no later than December 15th is our legal deadline, but the deadlines for the June election also run on this. So ideally, it would be nice to have this adopted by December 6th because we have to have our final plans in place 28 days before the signatures and new start for the June election. So it is my goal to have these in place by December 6th. So we can have open this public hearing and continue it to a special meeting in the next few weeks and come back based on board direction today.
It could be done during the special, it doesn't have to be done during the regular meeting?
I don't believe so, no. The public hearing has been open, so we won't close this hearing. We'll keep it open and then just continue it to the special meeting where hopefully there is a decision made.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. And we have a special meeting rather than flipping back and forth electronically. If I'm sorry, if you could print. maybe a base map of the changes between alternatives. Old school, sorry. Flipping back and forth, I lose track of which.
So would you like just a breakdown of what district, the changes between Plan 1 and Plan 2, the difference between 2 and 3 and 3
yeah.
and 4?
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that. So I would suggest that we continue the public hearing to November 30th.
That was good.
Tuesday? Mm-hmm. And by continuing, we would not have to do another public notification,
that
correct?
That is my understanding, yes.
When are we going for the special meeting?
November 30th at 9 a.m.
If I could add, Mr. Chair, I think it kind of makes sense because we're missing two supervisors.
Yeah.
It allows one, and then one Supervisor Kopsev gives them an opportunity to get his questions from the PPC, and then it allows more time for him to get his questions to see if he can be involved. And it allows balance away there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, again, today, like I mentioned, we did receive our first public comment from Alice Rogers, so maybe this will spark more public interest, too, between now and then.
I know this makes me jealous of the 2011 board.
That was a real easy one.
I was watching the board at that time, I thought, boy, that's what they had there.
Any chance we could do it on the 1st?
December 1st.
Oh, and to add there, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I know Supervisor Valenzuela is very active in CSAC, and the CSAC convention is the week of November 29th through the through December 3rd.
Oh.
It's the week of CSAC.
That's a big one for him.
Yeah, how about next Tuesday the 16th?
Yeah,
I was wondering if we could, I'm micromanaging, I apologize, if we could throw out a couple of dates, because I don't know.
I think we need to set it today.
Yeah.
Oh, I know it, but we have one colleague that's not in the room right now. They'll just have to adjust
a
little
bit.
Yep. Well, he could kind of participate to talk about future meetings, correct?
Or
I think it'll be
fine. All right. I'm just trying to be fair.
Yeah, no, I know, but I think.
But just on my end, if we wind up with the 16th, I do have to get started on the agenda. So.
Correct. Yeah.
Can we do it at 1 o'clock?
1 p.m. on
the 16th?
Yeah.
How about the 23rd? Talk
about the 16th.
That's Thanksgiving.
Okay.
That's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, the holiday.
So we need to be thankful.
Thanks.
For something. For something.
I was going to throw out the 25th, but.
Yeah.
You won't have a quorum.
Yeah.
Okay, so November 16th at 1 p.m., and I will bring back the differences between the plans.
That would
be great.
Sounds good.
And then just for clarification, would we be trying to adjust? I hope those are the final plans we're looking at, those are the options. If we start changing them, then it allows for...
Yes, and like I said before, ideally it would be, in a perfect world, election-wise, to have these adopted and in place by December 6th, which then allows that 28 days before signatures and lose start. So either way, we have to have it done by November 6th, because that drives the start date for signatures and lose. So if we don't get this finalized on November 16th, that gives us, you know, a couple weeks, one of them being Thanksgiving, to come back with that another time.
That's our goal.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
I'll
that's what you mean.
Second that, Mr. Chair.
And that motion includes to continue the public hearing, correct?
Yes.
The 16th
at 1 p.m.
Thank you. That's what I have. Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Okay.
I wrote my master's thesis on legislative districts and redistricting, and we can blame Reynolds v. Sims.
There we go. For that. Blame Reynolds v. Sims for a lot of things.
Thank you.
Would it be okay to take a quick break?
Let's take a break.